from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. In California, nuclear power has long been a subject that's, well, radioactive. But recent polls suggest that Californians may finally be warming up to the idea, and a new study suggests that a clean energy future may not happen without it. Craig Miller reports on the prospects for a nuclear revival in the Golden State.
Of all the power that PG&E produces, about a quarter comes from this one little notch on the Central Coast. This is the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant, one of just two commercial plants in California. And the carbon footprint?
That would be zero. That would be zero.
And that would be PG&E's Pete Ressler.
Same drill on this door, Bob.
As he walks me past the two giant turbines, one for each reactor, Ressler points out that enough power comes out of this one room for more than 3 million homes. And unlike wind turbines or solar panels, it happens around the clock. That makes nuclear plants important contributors to what utilities call baseload power, the power that meets that minimum demand that's always there.
Diablo Canyon and San Onofre down in Southern California, the two nuclear plants are by far the largest baseload producers in the state.
And they may be the last of their kind. California has had a legal moratorium on any new nuclear plants since 1976. A statewide poll conducted last month suggests that Californians are split on expanding nuclear power, but in recent years, support has been building. Take Alex Raisapor, who runs the Blazing Blenders smoothie stand and cafe about 8 miles south of Diablo Canyon.
I'm on the fence, to be honest with you, but I definitely would rather have safe, clean energy as opposed to the fossil fuels.
Safe, clean, including nuclear.
Yes, including nuclear.
On the fence is a crowded spot these days.
I'm okay with it playing the kind of role it does now.
Take former Vice President Al Gore, a part-time Californian who'll go part way for nuclear power.
I believe that the expense of nuclear and the unresolved questions will limit its growth.
Plants like Diablo Canyon represent 1980s fission technology. At Lawrence Livermore National Lab, scientists hope that a mega laser called the National Ignition Facility will lead them to the holy grail of nukes, fusion power. But practical applications are still decades away. Not exactly the low-hanging fruit that Energy Secretary Steve Chu likes to talk about.
It's not the lowest-hanging fruit, but it's the juiciest.
That's Bill Halsey, a nuclear engineer at Livermore, who says there is some lower-hanging fruit. These are the next-generation nuclear reactors known as Gen 4, which encompass a half-dozen different technologies. Some are already under construction in China and South Africa. One approach being pursued by U.S. engineers is GFR, a gas-cooled, fast reactor that uses helium as a coolant instead of water and could cut the amount of radioactive waste in half.
And the waste that does come out is a very robust waste form that would probably be very safe to dispose of.
The new designs are more efficient partly because they run at higher temperatures. Turns out that if you can crank certain types of reactors up to about 1,000 degrees Celsius, you get a nice little byproduct, hydrogen, which can also be used as a clean fuel. And not incidentally, Halsey says it's a safer design.
If you don't like what the reactor's doing, you can literally shut it down and go away and have a meeting and think about it before it starts to get very hot.
Halsey says he thinks advanced nuclear could eventually provide a third of the nation's energy needs. But this time, he's not expecting the Golden State to be the trendsetter.
My guess is the state of California will follow the rest of the country rather than lead in this area. But I don't expect that to happen real soon here.
Lots of experts agree with that much, and not just because of the $10 billion price tag per plant. Dan Kamen is a professor of nuclear engineering at UC Berkeley and heads the university's Renewable and Appropriate Energy Lab.
Even if we had full permitting and licensing today, a new nuclear plant will not be built for one decade.
For one thing, there's that little matter of spent fuel. Even if new reactors can cut the waste stream in half, there's already enough nuclear waste sitting around to nearly fill the proposed storage facility at Yucca Mountain, Nevada, a project that also appears to be in long-term limbo with no plan B.
there are very credible analysts out there today that think even if nuclear is a great low-carbon solution, it's not cost-effective relative to what solar, wind, ocean, and energy efficiency could do. And that's a debate that we're going to need to have. And we have – I mean, amazingly, we have never had that discussion.
With the heat on for more carbon-free options, that discussion may finally be forced upon us. A study released this month by the Electric Power Research Institute in Palo Alto concluded that the U.S. may not be able to reach hoped-for reductions in greenhouse gas emissions without a significant expansion of nuclear power. For Quest, I'm Craig Miller, KQED Radio News.
Quest TV takes a look at the future of electricity in California tomorrow night. Tune in to KQED Public Television, Channel 9 at 7:30.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Capsanel Foundation.